Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hey. Hello.
Hi.
Well, we didn't get that last part I said on the podcast.
No, they got just me, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, oh great.
Yeah.
No one will ever know. We've got time for bullshit.
This is episode 28 of the Octavarius podcast. Thanks for stopping by. Let's start.
Let's start over.
I'm not fucking with anybody. Let's start over on the far end of the room and sound off.
Nick McCullough.
It's Brian Wool.
Keith Habersberger here.
Lise Vitarelli.
It is Matt, quote, Tins Herzog.
LP. Mark Musinski.
And me, Matt Costovi.
Great. Well, I see our mailbag is full to bursting.
Yep.
Listen to that mail flip.
Yeah.
Yep. Flipping mail.
Well, oh, here it is. This one is from Richard Snarloff of Chicago, Illinois.
What is that, Ukrainian Snarloff?
I think so, yeah.
It is.
It's Estonian, I think.
Snarloff.
Oh.
Snarloff.
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 Snarloff. Now everyone's going to think I'm a racist.
It's S-N-O with like a little symbol above
like
it.
Like
a tilde. An umlaut.
Oh, maybe it is an umlaut. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a fake name. What is the question?
The question is, yo, guys, I just moved into a new place, and then there's all these people that live around me, and I feel weird walking around and not knowing them. Do you guys have any advice or any important information you could tell me that would help me with my neighbors? What is up with them?
I don't feel like that was an actual representation of how a man named like that would write a fake letter.
Sounds like how Mark would talk, though.
Yeah, it does sound like how Mark normally reads those letters.
I also love that the people that actually write into us just write how Mark talks.
Mm-hmm.
And please, by the way, if you have a podcast question you would like to submit, please do so to info@octavarius.com. That's OCTAVARIUS.com.
Or like Expedia? That's how I think we should all do it. We just steal Expedia's .com thing they do.
So did you...
Well, to kind of go on the question mark.
The topic.
The topic. Something I've always wanted to do when I move in somewhere new is go to my neighbors and bring them, like, some fresh baked cookies or a Jell-O mold, because that's what you see in movies.
Have you ever done that, Claire?
What they do in the 50s. I know I've never done it, but I really want to make, like, a sweet-ass Jell-O mold.
Well, you just recently moved to the city.
Yeah, what have you done since you just moved here?
I just made a bed today. I haven't had time to make a Jell-O mold.
Oh, see, that's why it happens.
We'll get to it.
Well, she's the newcomer. It's the other neighbors who should be welcoming her.
Did you see your neighbors at all today? Have they looked at you, like...
Well, one of my, like, the neighbor in the same building is my, like, landlord that I know, but I don't know the neighbors next door in the other house.
So I remember when Mark and I first moved into Chicago with our roommate Josh, and we made it a point to go meet everybody, but they didn't want to meet us.
Do you think it's too late for us, for me, like this week, to bake lots of cookies and take it to all of the apartments in this building and say, "Hey, I've been living here for a year. I don't know you, so I made some mystery cookies."
It will be weird for the ones you do know.
That would be really fun.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you
who
think
would
they trust
accept.
The cookies?
Yeah,
they
that's
might
what I'm
be
saying.
Scared. Yeah,
because like it came from that 23-year-old guy just brought us cookies.
I guess if you make it if you have a nice presentation, like in a tin or a basket.
Yeah, I probably would put them on a plate and say you could give the plate back like in a few days or something.
I'm more content with not knowing my neighbors so well.
Agreed.
Just because it's like the forced having to greet, having to be forced friends with somebody who you're probably not that interested in to begin with. And you have to see, it's like living me is a lot different than me being your friend, kind of all. Because it's like I have to be on when I'm dealing with you. And I see that person all the time.
I agree with that. As I currently live with Custodian LP, and my morning ritual, unfortunately, is I wake up and I have a cigarette. And whenever I go outside, it's me waking up, and I just want to deal with what's going on. I'm just not even, you can't even talk to me when I'm awake. And there's always one of our neighbors outside smoking a cigarette. And she'll run over to me, literally run over being like, "What time do you have to go to work? Are you excited? Doesn't it suck?" This happened this morning. "Doesn't it suck Today's Monday. Yeah, it was Heather. Yeah, she's like, doesn't it suck today's Monday? Oh, are you wearing that to work? I make you wear jeans at work. You're always wearing... And I was like, I literally cannot take you. But instead I said, oh, good morning. And I just walked back into my room. I just can't.
You didn't answer any of her questions, you dick.
Well, she asked 10 questions. I don't even know where to start.
Man,
with the first.
See, I would like to know my neighbors. I don't necessarily want to be friends with them, but I do want to at least have an idea of who they are in case anything happens. Mm. Because the second some shit goes down in your building, like, boy, do you all become close real fast.
Yeah.
Like, our neighbors come to me very often when things go wrong in the building for some reason.
Is it because they think that you're the cause of them?
No, they think that I know how to fix them all.
Oh, why? What? When?
Because I fixed a thing once.
Oh, that was a fool's move.
And so, like, now people will knock on our door and think that I can fix all their problems.
Yeah, the guy who builds stuff in our basement, what's his name?
That's Garth.
He came up the other week, and I was the only one home. And I was in one of those, like, I'm about to take a shower, so I'm only in boxers thing. And then I hear, like, a knock at the door. I'm like, oh, I can't answer the door, just boxers. That's really weird. So I had to, like, rush and put on clothes and, like, run to the door. And then I open it, and he's just like, hey, do you hear that weird sound in the pipes? And I'm like, yeah, I thought I heard a weird sound. And the kid's like, yeah, last time it made that sound, it flooded in my apartment. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one hearing it. Thanks. Like, that's all it was. Yeah. I was sort of mad that I put so much clothes on for that.
Oh, man. Garth's a dude, man. He's so cool.
Yeah, he's very nice. I think he's the person who made the laundry room in the basement look beautiful.
He likely is. Garth is so... He's such a good neighbor, and I feel like a bad neighbor that I haven't gotten to know him better. And I keep hearing, reading these things about us as young people, like our generation, and that... we are a lot closer to people that are not physically close to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
what do you mean by that?
Like we use like our electronic communication, like
the intertube.
With not only Facebook and the internet,
the teletalkers,
but also the our cell phones and texting. And
yeah, we use all sorts of webtrons.
It allows us to not have to talk to those around us if it might make us slightly uncomfortable. And a lot of people feel like people like us, our generation, has lost that feeling of community because we're not a part of our physical community around us. But what we have instead done is create another community that is not a physical one.
A huge community.
Yeah.
I guess when you think now, like, how many friends and how many people you know, encounter, and can find out more about as soon as you meet them. Like, we've gone from, like, really a long time ago when people didn't have cars or couldn't really move very far, you knew 50 people. That's it, probably. Yeah. You knew your tribe or whatever. Then we got cars, we can move further, you can meet more people, but now that we've gotten to where you can communicate with literally anyone at any moment with the right tool, like, I could decide right now I want to make a friend in China.
Yeah.
It could take me 10 minutes to find a person that I could talk to and find something that I share in common with and be their friend. Well, friend, I'm going to put in quotation marks because we have a friend is a different thing now than it used to be.
And also, we're a lot more suspicious of those that are our neighbors. Like, more people now are suspicious of their neighbors
always
than ever. Like, I feel Tommy's like...
Strangers in general, I think.
We're like, so much more suspicious.
Well, we are taught as children that strangers are dangers.
Yeah, stranger
danger.
And so... It's so suspicious.
It's weird that you would trust like a random person on Facebook more than you would the person that lives.
No, I don't trust random people.
Well,
your friend from fifth grade.
They can't mug you through Facebook.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
God,
like,
that would suck.
But they could screw my computer up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want. I'm not going to befriend. Tiffany Stevens just because we have one friend in common, but.
Tiffany Stevens has, that's a good question.
She has she has no pictures and she has no info. I'm like, no, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah, but her profile picture is like super cute.
Oh my god, she has a teddy bear.
I was feel bad when I get a friend request from somebody I don't know, but they know like, if they know like 9 people, I'm always hesitant to be like, maybe I met you and I just don't know you.
You know what I do? If somebody does request me for something on Facebook and I don't know who they are, I actually write back to them and I say, I'm sorry, maybe I'm the jerk here, but I don't seem to remember you. How do we know each other?
See, and I can't do
and
that.
And they never write me back unless they know me. And always those people that I'm not sure about. Only one person has ever like called me on it.
Brian, what would you do if I defriended you tomorrow, but then a friend requested you the following day? You think you'd notice right away, or how would you feel?
I wouldn't notice that you. Actually, I probably would notice
if you
because
defriended. I don't know if you would.
Yeah, because you're fairly active on the internet.
Yeah, but you might just think that I'm not doing anything that day.
Yeah.
No, you do stuff every day.
I do try to do stuff.
You
every
do
day.
Stuff every day. You are. You make it a point to be a presence everywhere you
but would
are.
You, but if it happened, would you start to be like, hey, Matt Castelvi hasn't done anything today. Maybe I should look to see if we're friends? Probably not.
I would look to see what your deal is that day.
How would you feel if you looked it up and we weren't friends?
Would you like to request friends?
All of a sudden, we're not friends.
I would call you. I would call
what
you.
What the fuck, man?
And then and I'd be like, did I do something to piss you off? It would bother me.
I'm sure it would
really bother me.
It would be so confusing.
Vice
versa.
I would be very confused. I
probably wouldn't notice right away.
I got confused when my brother didn't allow me to see pictures of him. So I called him and I was like, hey, are you afraid of what I'm gonna think of you?
what do you mean by that?
I was like,
I hope you didn't start off the conversation that way.
Oh no, I was. Hey, I'd Brian. Say, hey, how you doing? But I was like,
hey, Brian, what's going on? You afraid of good what I think of you?
I let you see all my bullshit, and I can't see your bullshit. He's like, well, you know, it's just more effort to take care of everybody. And I was like,
whatever, man.
Fine. That you know, I was like. I don't talk to my brother very often. I don't see my brother. But if he has pictures, I feel at least like a little bit closer to him so yeah. I don't have to call him all the time. And I allow my parents to see whatever the hell they want. Because whatever, you know, who cares? Who cares?
Keith is shaking his head.
I am who I am. I am not afraid of that stuff. But when it comes to, you know, our neighbors across the hall... I would love for them to know who we are.
I would love for them to
tell me who they are, but they don't care. They got their own lives.
Certainly make encounters less like. Admittedly, right before we started this podcast, I took laundry out of the dryer, and one of the girls from across the hall was already down there. So I gave.
Do you know who it was at all?
I don't know who they.
You don't even know their names, do you?
I know some of their names. I know they're never there. I know there's a Michaela, and I'm whispering because they're like 12 feet away.
Whatever. Maybe them hearing us would actually force them to talk.
There is a it's a Julie or a Julia.
There is a Julie.
There's always a Julie.
Okay.
I hope they listen to the podcast.
By the way, I'm Tim.
Like they all seem like nice girls. I just really wouldn't.
Tim's, would you feel more comfortable if they walked around with like a big photo book? And then you can just look through it and see all their pictures, and then maybe like a little info sheet.
Of course,
you know,
well,
you know,
yeah.
We are actually one of I think three, or I think yeah, out of the 6 apartments in this building, we are one of 3 apartments that actually have our full names on our mailboxes. Like, there's
and
no way
none
to...
of our names on our door buzzer.
Well, yeah, but they don't look at the damn buzzer.
It said space for 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to know who's who and who lives where and who does what. and we never see each other.
And well, and as a result, like after I took my stuff out of the dryer and I was leaving, because we didn't really speak, we didn't have much to talk about, because hey, we're just shuffling clothes, you know what I'm saying?
I do, Tins. But, I got you over here, baby.
But as I was starting to leave, she mumbled something and I couldn't really hear because the dryer was going and the laundry thing.
And you were flustered, admittedly.
Yeah, the washing machine was making noises too.
Yeah.
Well, sure, I guess a little flustered, but she mumbled something and I didn't really understand what she was saying. I just kind of thought she was saying something to herself.
Well, so what'd you do, Tins?
Well, as soon as I closed the door, I realized she said, "Have a good night."
Aww.
And I was like, oh, fucking, I didn't realize, and I just walked away.
You should have just opened the door and said, "Hey, you too."
I have done that before, and it's not as bad as you think it is.
Do you ever think to yourself, like, you're a shitty neighbor?
Yeah, I mean, kinda. Well, I'd like to think we keep to ourselves and we don't cause too much of a ruckus. But
I've been playing.
We don't cause enough of a ruckus that people are actively complaining about us that often.
I've been planning a ruckus on our neighbors. Okay, in our building, and maybe you have some other buildings. I'm going to make this real quick. There's a window in our apartment that just faces the other window. There's like a courtyard you can't access. I'm assuming you just throw dead bodies in it or something.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah, the body chute.
Yeah, we used to call it that. And it looks across into the window of the other apartment that's adjacent to ours, which is this one with these girls that we sort of understand and know who they are. Well, every so often, and this is like once every 6 months, you'll actually pass them, because I never see them. I never pass them. And I pass by that window all the time, every day almost. And and I never see them, but I always want to know if, like, I were to see them. I'm planning on just standing in that window, doing like a ta-da thing with my hands until they walk by. especially now, because I'm about to leave and go on tour again for another like couple months, so I won't be around to be seen. So then you guys,
like, they won't remember that creepy guy.
Well,
who's
it,
waiting
but they'll just but Tins and Mark and Biwa will have to deal with anything that comes.
And
up
I
about
see
it.
These people more than all of you assholes, because I'm home at all sorts of times of the day, and I'm also open to talking to them. So they do talk to me about us. And what do.
When I get home from work at 6:30, all that talking's done. Everybody's retired for the evening.
Everybody's asleep.
I see many of them. And they do ask me about what we do and who we are.
Well, you lie, right?
No, not in the least.
You tell them you're jocks, right?
That's only to the fellas upstairs,
across the hall and upstairs. They think we're jocks.
Only because during the entire Blackhawk season, we would very jubilantly sing along to Chelsea Dagger at every single Blackhawks goal.
And during Bears games, although they have not been around for that, we sing "Bear Down, Chicago Bears" at every touchdown. Mm-hmm.
I think, and maybe, I wonder what Lisa would have to say on this from a different perspective, but I know I feel a little bit weird when I talk to strangers, especially women, because I feel like they assume that I'm hitting on them. Almost no matter what the context is, but especially
get
if it's
over
like
yourself, Musinski.
No, I know what you mean, because like, I think I was telling Bill a story about like some guy on the morning train that started talking to me, and he started like asking about Octavarius and stuff. And then he found me.
Wait, he knew about Octavarius already?
No, he started asking me about, like,
so
oh, what are you going to say for, blah, blah. Yeah, and so, like, we're talking, he's really friendly, he's a nice guy. But then, like, he found me on Facebook.
Train guy found you?
Yeah, and so I'm like,
you remember that he was the guy from the train?
Yeah, from his picture of it, but, and then, like, so. Because
of the eye patch.
He had an eye patch. But so,
well, of
like,
course, you
I
couldn't see his claw
hand
because
I was like unsure. I was like, is he just like really friendly and wants
no,
to
dude,
make
he's
friends?
A creep.
I don't think dudes are ever really friendly
no,
to girls.
I think that's
no.
the problem.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, do not friend that dude.
I did not. But so I think, I don't know, I think it depends on the situation. Like, I'll randomly talk to dudes. That's how I met a friend, Clausio, actually. We were on the elevator moving day, and I was like, what up? And it started, like, I'll talk to random people.
If I was on an elevator and some girl just said, what up? I would not know how to respond.
Oh, I would be elated.
I would too.
I would be so ready to
but
talk.
But that's why I wouldn't know how to respond, because I'd be like, not
dude,
much.
That's the reason he's in Mafia, because I was like, you do improv? You should try. elevator.
Cool. Yeah, I would totally talk to
yeah. Yeah, the improv mob, not the actual mob.
But yeah, for our listeners, that's our group a lot of us used to be in.
I think it just depends on the situation. Yeah. I think you gotta feel it out.
You're feeling it out like a human, interacting with humans.
Like.
I just don't think that ever there's a situation where a strange man and a strange woman meet and there isn't some sort of the dude's hitting on the dude or the chick or vice versa. Our producer Amy's pointing at Brian for some reason.
Wait, what? I'd say that.
I just don't believe it.
I think there are times when you're not hitting on one another, and that's probably like really really ugly professionals. You know, I imagine that really ugly.
If it's like an innocent conversation.
I gotta say, ugly professionals probably hit on each other more than anybody.
What do they have to hit on? See?
Ugly people boink more than anybody in the world.
Not to bash their eyes, to shield their eyes.
And really, with ugly people, boink is the only word that you can use to describe them.
I searched my vocabulary and boink was the most appropriate term.
Well, I actually ran into one of our neighbors in the laundry room, and we had like a conversation, and it was really nice. And the whole time, I was like, "Wait, I didn't know if I was hitting on her or not. Like, I knew I wasn't, but I was like, does she think that I'm hitting on her right now, or are we just talking? Because I'm just talking, but I feel like we might be hitting on each other.
Well, you know, you probably still use the same things that make you appealing, I guess, in a sexual situation. You flash your smile. And
got a great smile.
Yeah, turn on that charm when you're making a new friend.
I also used to...
It's not necessarily that you're trying to be sexual, but you just are trying to...
You're just a sexual being.
You're displaying that you are an attractive human to be around.
You are just a dude with a dick.
You're just trying to make it clear that you're not an ugly professional.
God, this is so frightening. Is this what happens when we all discover neighbors?
But like, here's... I feel too, though, like, I might have been...
I mean, we don't talk to them.
But my interactions, I think, might have been soiled by television, specifically in this laundry case. I'm thinking of the MTV show Undressed, when there was, like, very frequently strangers who would, like, meet in laundry rooms at their dorm.
Or Dr. Horrible.
And then, like, sparks would fly. And then that totally affected my laundry room and stranger encounters.
You know what will fix that, Mark?
Anywhere, so what?
Yeah,
Mark, you know what will fix that? Just at the beginning of any conversation with a female, I'll be like, I'm not trying to hit on you! Just shout it. Then try to go back.
Mark,
you'll never succeed.
I am not a creep!
Me like the ugliest professional you know.
If you get that vibe, do you just drop the girlfriend card or something?
No, I try not to like make a deal out of it.
What kind of TV shows do I watch? I have a girlfriend.
I really can't be answering.
But Futurama, I guess.
I watch. I just sit and watch Grey's Anatomy reruns with my girlfriend.
What shows do I like? I only watch shows with my girlfriend, so...
I like the show Girlfriends on WGN because I have one.
Yeah, Garth was really weirded out when you told him that, Mark.
Did you do a Girlfriends reference, Keith?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
Girlfriends.
I love that show.
If someone was, like, being real flirty, though, this is a general question, and you are taken, would you, like, say right out, sorry, I have a girlfriend / boyfriend?
If it's my fucking neighbor? No, who cares? Yeah. You're just talking.
I usually
tell you, most girls do not tell you.
Well, as a man,
wait, Nick.
What'd you say?
I can tell, like, just in conversation, if you're talking to a girl, at least my experience, and you don't know if they're single or not, they don't usually tell me if they are. They won't come out and say, like, oh, I have a boyfriend, by the way. Or you see that guy over there.
A girl will never do it.
A girl will never do it.
Man wants to be.
Not until you're about to have sex. Oh, I have a boyfriend, by the way.
Put that back. Please.
Yeah, the girls don't say much about boyfriends very often.
No.
Because I'm just notorious at misreading female signals. So, like, I'll probably go into it, like, being like, maybe she's hitting, I don't know. Matt, you're an idiot. No one's hitting on you. You're just talking to a person. And then halfway through, it's like, I really think, just throw it out there. Like, oh, well, me and my girlfriend like ceiling fans, too.
Yeah, I know.
It's awkward when you get to that point and you're like, but it's mostly when I'm being hit on or I think I'm being hit on by, like, an especially weird person that I...
Oh, when they're really weird, it's pretty... pretty.
It's like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, geez, my girlfriend... I have one.
Now, has that ever happened to you where somebody tells you they have a girlfriend? Like, really?
Oh, or, yeah.
Or I mean, a boyfriend?
Yes,
like,
absolutely, dude.
A girl tells
I've been, like, chatting up girls before, and they just go, like, they don't say, I have a boyfriend. They're like, oh, yeah, well, my boyfriend's coming into town next week, so I'm pretty excited.
Like, I get that sometimes, and I have a girlfriend, and, like, girls will say that to me. And I'm not hitting on them at all. Like I've like just
you get offended.
I get
a little offended.
I'm like I was get oh I'm listen. I was not hitting on you in any
sense.
Yeah,
I'm
of
the sure
word.
Someone
I wouldn't
will
fuck
find
you with
you
his dick.
You know the only time I ever really talked to complete stranger women, I made maybe the worst random enemy of my life.
What?
I don't think we need to hear this.
Wait, this is a good sad sack box.
How can you turn this perfectly normal situation into something awful?
Yeah. No, it was like, it was just a string of things that all went right to make this girl hate me.
Oh my god.
More than anyone who has ever hated me.
All went right?
It was, yeah, what did you do?
I'm sure somebody maybe has heard this before. We were at a party, and... everyone was like, yeah, this party's dying down. Let's all go to the bar.
When is this?
It was maybe like a year and a half ago.
Okay, so you're in the city.
This
yeah.
Really?
You're in the city.
Yeah, we were like down in the Gold Coast where I never go because I can't afford to be there. But they were all like, it was all these really nice people. We knew like one girl from high school. It was my friend Chris and I. And we were at this party. And everyone there were like fairly well-off accountants. So
adult
like,
professionals.
Yeah, adult professionals.
Young adult.
How did they look?
It was a good mix.
Most of them were nice. Okay. Nice.
So we're in the elevator on the way down, and these like three dudes come in, and they're like, we're going to party! And so
they
we were
whispered,
like,
yeah! We're going to party!
So by just saying yes to them, we made instant friends with these like three random dudes on the elevator, and they were like, well, we're going this way! And they just ran off as soon as we left the elevator. Not realizing that, like, we were basically going to the same place. So we, like, come around the block, and they're coming around the block the other way, and they're like, party! And so we're like, oh, it's cool to see you guys again. But it was, like, just enough for them to remember us. And so then we, like, parted ways again and went to this random bar. It was really awkward because they were, like, they had professional dancers hired at this bar, but there was nobody on the dance floor.
Like tap dancers? Like swing dancers?
No, like...
Maybe they were just really
dancers.
Good.
Wait, like, so Mark, their job was to just dance at the party.
In underwear, yeah.
Like, they're
that.
Just professional fun havers.
In underwear?
Oh,
yeah.
It's a selling point.
Yeah.
Well, like, maybe they're not, like, underwear, but, like, really, like, the same amount of coverage as underwear.
Yeah.
It's
and,
a dance clothes.
A bikini.
It's like someone hires a burlesque show or something.
Yeah,
but they're just
or like a cage
fun the box.
It's like when Sam's Club has those guys stand out in hats.
You mean greeters?
Something like that.
Are you talking about greeters?
Yeah, old guys and they have like baseball caps.
Yeah, the greeters.
So we're in this bar. We're there, and the people we were with just like disappeared, and so it was my friend Chris and I, and we were just standing there, and there were these two girls there, and so somehow we started talking to them. I don't remember how. And
alcohol, am I right?
And this one, and the one I was closest to, because that's how it's always just proximity.
Boom.
I was chatting up this girl, not really flirtatious though, because she was like said that she was 31, and
nice,
so I was like, okay,
nice.
And she was like a lawyer, and like you know we were talking, it was going
you
great.
Angle that chick, baby.
and then her friend is like, she's like, I'm 29. How old are you guys? And we were like 23. And she's like, no way. And she's like, let me see your ID. So she carded us.
What?
You are in on this chick, like, man. What?
And you gave it to her?
Yeah, and then she dropped the fiance card.
Oh my god.
And so, but she was still so flirty. And so then, like, so Chris was talking to that girl, and I was talking to the 31-year-old girl, who I find is a lawyer. And then, like, this 31-year-old girl, I was like, man, okay, whatever, it's getting late. She's cute enough, she's a lawyer, whatever that means. And then she looks at
lawyer
me.
Lawyer sex, dude.
Conversation lulls, and the lawyer looks at me and goes, I've stared death in the face.
Ah! What?
And when you do that, you're not afraid.
Oh. Wait, she said that to you.
Yeah.
Like, over the other people talking in the bar. She must have, like, raised her voice so you can hear it.
Yeah, she just looked me dead in the
eyes. I've stared death in the face. So I'm changed. Okay.
After that, you fear nothing.
You don't fear anything ever. You've stared at it in the face.
Oh, my God, this drink is so good.
Oh, my God.
So then I was like, is there a story behind that? And she's like, no. I can't explain, but you're not afraid anymore.
No, you can't explain.
You're just not afraid.
You're never the same anymore. You're always changed.
And so somehow we get over
that. My uncle touched me.
Why'd you take it there? We were so okay.
Well, we were probably still being pretty offensive to dumb girls.
So we get over that, and everything's actually going great again. And then the girl that Chris was talking to turns to me and she's like, oh, so you went to U of I? And Chris had forgotten that I, well, not forgotten, but he had meant to say that I went to ISU, but had said that I went to U of I. So then I had a moment of decision. Do I keep up Chris's lie because it clearly can't matter to these people who don't know us, or do I call out my friend? And so I made the decision to keep up his lie because it was the path of least resistance. And so I was like, yeah, yeah, totally. And she's like, oh, yeah? Where'd you live there? And I was like,
where'd you live there?
I'm doing all this to underwear
people. I'll kill you.
This was not the one who stared death in the face. This is the one who carded us.
Oh, okay.
But she was like by far the flirtier one. And so she's like, where'd you live there? And I was like, Main Street.
You know, there is a Main Street.
That's
a very popular street, actually. But
then she just kept getting more specific until it was so clear that I was
lying. How does it end up where you just get
so?
Yeah, like this
so
is a long story.
So this girl goes.
You said
so. So as soon as she finds out I lied, she just she's like, "What? What the fuck, guys? Why'd you have to lie? That's so lame." Or no. We talked for a little bit longer. And then as the bar closes, she says that. She's like, you know, it was really fun. It was really great talking to you guys. But let me just tell you a secret. Next time you're hitting on girls, just tell the truth.
Don't lie.
And we were like, wait, really? And so, one of the worst decisions of my life, I put my hand on this girl's shoulder.
Oh, no.
And I was like, don't flatter yourself, honey.
Oh!
You said honey?
No!
No way, dude.
And
I thought you were saying that.
And I should. There were so many warning signs. Like, girl who was probably 31, lying and saying she's 29.
I retract my statement about the story, Mark. Continue.
Drops how she's engaged. Like, you know, like, she was clearly just wanted to get hit on by younger guys to feel young, and I just attacked her greatest weakness in life, and she exploded, and she called me just so many horrible names, and she was like, fuck you, let's get out of here, fuck these guys, you guys are douchebags.
Mark, I can't believe you had the balls,
man. Bullshit.
That's awesome.
And she took her friend, and her friend, who was like, you know, despite the fact that she was not afraid, was like, yeah, I guess that was kind of mean, guys. Well, it was nice meeting you. Bye. And she's like being dragged away. And so they storm out of the bar, and we're walking, and we pass this girl that we went to high school with who was super drunk. And she was like this nice, cute girl that we knew, and she was so excited to see us. And they were leaving too. So she like grabs us both by the arms, and she's like, Chris, oh my God, I need your phone number. And we leave the bar. And as we leave the bar, we pass the two girls who thought we were hitting on them. And it's this, like, really cute girl from my high school just hanging on my arm, taking my phone number. And this girl looks at the girl from high school, and she's like, are you fucking kidding me? Girl, let me help you. Leave this guy right now. He's a real asshole. Fuck him. Get out.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
And so the girl from our high school was just so confused that she's like, okay, well, I gotta go now. You guys might need to talk this out. And she walks away. And those two girls...
She thought she won. Fuck.
And no, and so then these two girls are like, yeah, well, fuck you guys. Have a good night. Like, they totally won, you know?
Damn.
Because they thought they, like, ruined my apparently 30-second pickup.
How did you kill them?
So they stole them off.
How'd you kill them?
They stole them off.
You're not afraid of
down
death,
the street. What, they storm off the same direction we have to go. And we're like, you know, we could follow right behind them and be assholes. But we're like, you know, we'll just wait a few seconds. So we give them some space. And then we hear down the street, like, just, like, drunk dudes yelling. And they're like, oh, hey, ladies. You guys want to go out and have dinner? And the one, because it's like 4 a.m, so they just wanted like a drunken snack. And the girl who hates me looks back at us, smirks, and then's like, sure, boys.
What?
And they get closer, and it was the three guys from the elevator. And they're like, oh my god, what up, dudes? Come on, we're all going out for dinner. And Chris and I look at each other and we're like, yeah, yeah, we can do this.
This just sounds like an episode of something.
Yeah, like the end is the beginning, kind of.
And we just wind up at this diner. Those three guys completely disappear. But we've already been seated, so Chris and I and these two girls who hate us.
Jesus Christ, Mark.
Oh my god.
That didn't happen, Mark.
Phenomenal.
We have like, you know, $32 worth of bruschetta and cheese fries.
I hope in complete silence.
No. Oh my god, Mark, that's awesome.
What ended up happening was that girl gave Chris her number, and the 31-year-old gave me her number, but they both hated the other one of us.
Oh, nice!
Oh, that was
compromise. Awesome.
So almost everyone's friends in the end.
Our producer, Amy, will be so pleased.
You know, I actually remember that night. I remember you coming home. I was thrilled when you told me that story.
Wow, that's such a great story.
I was shit-faced because it was really late.
What's so good about it is about how it was about neighbors.
Yeah.
Because everyone's neighbor.
Yeah.
But it all happened because I was so mad that that girl just assumed I was hitting on her.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you guys.
You were a fucking let's not forget the part where Mark tells off this 31-year-old. Don't flatter yourself, honey.
Honey.
I don't believe it. Mark Musinski.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Man, I don't have balls.
He's got...
I don't know. Was she a bitch about it? Because I might have said something when she said that.
When she said... Yeah, when she was so snooty. She was like, oh, next time you guys hit on girls, just try to tell the truth. It helps.
Oh,
don't flatter yourself, honey.
I wouldn't fuck you with his dick, as Stelby said earlier.
Oh god!
Thank you for citing me.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, you know who was a great neighbor? Yeah. Wilson.
Wilson.
Fucking seamless.
Dude, how many of you guys had like magic neighbors when you were kids?
What?
Like, he was like a sage.
Like
neighbors
Wilson like
was a sage.
Wilson was, you know, magical.
Yeah, he was kind of.
Well, magic, you know, I guess
his stealth
I guess
points
I,
were through the
I
roof.
I guess calling Wilson magical is a stretch.
But
kind of
mystical,
magic.
I would certainly say.
A neighbor
say.
That just solved problems.
My neighbor.
Did you ever have like a neighbor that was like awesome?
My neighbors never solve problems.
Your neighbors only create problems? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just remembered one incident where, like, I was like 6 years old. My mom, my brother, and one of the neighbors, my brother's friend, were locked in the shed. And I think
I just want to say, I was sure when Cloud started talking, I was like, I hope this is one of Cloud's tales of terror.
It might have
it
been.
It just says it in an adorable
it's,
voice.
It's Cloud's tales of terror.
It might have been.
I love
been,
these stories.
Might have been because I accidentally closed the combination lock or something.
From the inside of the shed?
No, they were inside checking something out.
And you
outside.
Locked them in.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh,
yeah, I was like five.
Awesome.
No, no, no. It
so
gets
you
worse.
Abandon your friend and you lock your.
More and more through these podcasts we've shared.
It gets
that
worse.
You're like a crazy.
All right. So, it's like an old school shed. I don't know if you've been in my house. It's like a
don't
mini building.
Cloud.
And there's bees' nests in there.
God.
Tim, the neighbor, is allergic to bees.
fantastic villain.
He's a terrible villain.
Why? You locked in this cave. So,
how did this story start by you saying the neighbors caused problems?
Wait, I'm saying they weren't helpful. Okay.
Okay. You're right.
I'm being stung by bees. Bees weren't helpful.
Okay, so I was freaking out. I'm like 5 years old. I go to the Loring's house next to me, and I knock on the door, and I'm like, help, you know, like, they're in the shed, or whatever I said. And, like, apparently she didn't get the message, because she's just like, oh, you're so cute. And she didn't help open the shed. Like, I actually forget how they got out. But
did they get out?
Yeah.
Were you reading the obituaries the next couple days?
No.
So who was locked in the shed?
It was like my mom, my brother, and our, the neighbor kid Tim.
Oh my god! Why were they there? How did you trick them?
Was it candy?
I don't remember.
Raised raspberry pies.
No, I was like so scared and freaked out. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. But, like, they got out, it's okay. It's just, like, the neighbor is not helpful.
It sounds like it's very, terribly traumatic.
It was. I still remember now. I, like, wrote a poem about it.
What? Can we hear this poem?
Yeah, I'm right.
In that you...
Bees in combinations.
I want it to be so dark.
Oh, we spoil like, my machinations.
Can you find it?
I'll try
to find
it.
Read it on stage without reading it prior?
And then our neighbors on the other side are also very non-helpful, and they always just try to, like, one-up us, and, like, they're just not...
They lock their children.
It's going to be a smaller enclosure, and it's going to be hornets this time.
I can't believe this.
That's the end of my terrifying...
When I asked that question, no way was I ever expecting that.
I understand the neighbors now, because if I imagine 5-year-old Lisa Renarelli is cuter than thou, if she's so cute at 5 years old that when she would be like, "It's the bees! They gonna get my mom, Paul! Oh, you little munchkin!"
And living in northern Georgia.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's the bees! That's
the bees in my mind, Bob!
Oh, God. We were supposed to go on a hayride!
I was
thinking of, like, my neighbor. I had a neighbor named Pete, who,
I like it already.
Pete the neighbor,
as he liked to be called,
was essentially retired, so he was home during the day, like me.
Does essentially retire mean he just didn't go to work ever?
Like, well, he was towards the end of his work time.
He was old and jobless.
He'd do a job here and there, but he was pretty much retired. He had sons that, you know, had children of their own already. So he's an older fella.
It's during a man's fuck it ages.
Yeah. Oh God! And he always had his sunglasses on. He had a beer and a cigarette, and was just always smiling. And I just always thought, like, what a happy guy! What an interesting fella. Everybody had acres of land in where I grew up, and on the acre Pete lived on. He liked to hunt whatever might have been on that acre. So Pete would sit with a bow and arrow.
What?
Like hidden just behind his porch. Just waiting for a raccoon or a squirrel or whatever. One time I actually witnessed, and I shit you not, he fucking shot a raccoon with a bow and arrow. And I came over after he did it, I was like, wow, that was awesome! Oh my god! You totally killed that raccoon with your arrow. Oh, wow. And I was like...
Did he shoot you?
And I was like...
No, it's a Brian Wall story.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, man, I would love to have like a coonskin hat or something. Like Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. So I shit you not, the man cuts off the tail of the raccoon with his knife. He has like a hunting knife.
Yeah, of course.
He cuts off the fucking tail and goes, "Here you go, Brian." And I go, thank you. And I ran away with this tail of a dead raccoon.
Disease, a bloody tail. Disease,
likely diseased tail.
I was like 4 or 5. And I thought,
this is Barrington?
You know, when your immune system's at its peak resistance.
And I was just running around with this fucking tail. And I come home. And I'm like, hey, Mom. Look what Pete gave me. I put it on the back of my head, and I was like, I'm Davy Crockett.
Blood is just trickling down the back of your neck.
And it's a freshly dead tail.
You know what would make Home Improvement different?
Our producer Amy will love this.
If Wilson was Pete the neighbor, yeah. And then yeah. Tim would go out and say, hey, Wilson, I got a problem. Here's this raccoon tail.
Go get him, Tim.
He also always had the best fireworks displays on 4th of July, and there would be remnants of fireworks scattered throughout the lawn. Oh, he's so much garbage.
I bet you Tim Taylor felt inadequate about how his lack of fireworks display compared to Wilson's. Bad. Was that part of the episode?
Yeah.
Wait, did Wilson have... Was he competing against Tim in those episodes?
No, Tim's just got
a competitive spirit. Yeah. If Al's around, he's going to compete with Al and be venomous about it. Often insulting his mother.
Mostly insulting his mother.
Well, usually her weight problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's normally about his mother's.
And then her death.
Yeah. That death scene was awful because they made a joke out of how big she was.
And then, like, even in death later, he would joke about how big she was, like the size of her coffin.
I love how we've all seen this episode of Home Improvement.
We all get tears. It's okay.
It's very funny. I was thinking about Wilson, you know, but while Wilson was extremely wise, you didn't need Wilson to really fix Tim's problems for the most part. Anybody could have fixed Tim's problems. Yeah. Mm. All he was like, I was selfish. Oh, apologize. You got it. That's it. That's all it is.
What about, like other neighbors? Like, my parents would always say to each other, whenever, like, one would look out the window and see another neighbor doing something, they'd be like, oh, the...
Open-ended fucking.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, the
bewitched, right?
Yeah, they'd call it, like, Gladys Kravitz. And they'd be like, oh, Gladys Kravitz, get away from the fucking window. Don't be that neighbor. You know, Gladys Kravitz. And so, like, whenever anybody would gossip about the neighbors in our house, we'd call each other Gladys Kravitz.
Every time the wife tried to get into the husband's job, they'd say, ah, oh, another loose.
Another loose.
I've never heard that.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah, Gladys Kravitz. There's Lucy wants to be in the show.
That's her story.
And then there's Ned Flanders.
He's a pretty funny neighbor.
I mean, what a neighbor. Flanders.
Yeah, he's the best neighbor.
Cartoons have a lot of fun neighbors. Yeah. Like the Big Heads being Rocco's neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Rugrats aren't
two of
the neighbors?
Pickle...
Bill and Lou. Bill and Lou live down the block.
Yeah, yeah, all of the Pickles kids live real close together.
What's his name and Doug? He's great.
Mr. Dink, of course.
Oh, Mr. Dink.
Mr. Dink was a wonderful neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, I would argue that because he was an inventor and all of his inventions were dangerous shitty, if I remember.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's not okay. If it burns down the funny residence, I've got a problem with that neighbor.
Look, man, Pete shot fucking arrows and fireworks. We were fine. God bless him.
He never gave Doug a raccoon tail and said, when your parents see this, tell him Dink sent you.
I don't know, that's pretty funny.
Have you guys had any crazy roommates in, like, college dorms?
Or, like, random roommate or neighbors?
What about you, Nate McCullough, who's been
here
the whole time?
Yeah, not in roommates, like, neighbors or people living around you.
Well, you lived with Mark.
Mark Musinski. Oh.
I don't know if we got time. How much time do we have time to go into?
We had knife-throwing neighbors. Didn't we? Or was that not the year I lived?
You got a knife-throwing roommate, baby. I got shurikens in my room.
I remember the day that I left college, or the day that I... Or not college. The end of my freshman year was my roommate Tom was naked in the hallway. when I knew my parents were going to come that morning.
Oh, no.
I opened the door to go to my last final, and I hit Tom, and he was just naked, passed out, drunk. It wasn't the first time I met Tom naked, passed out, drunk. One time, his buddy was actually naked, passed out, drunk in Tom's bed. And that weirded me out, because I was afraid that there would be somebody in my bed. Thank God there wasn't.
Once someone on my floor broke the microwave, we all got in trouble.
I got my floor. We ended up getting fined thousands of dollars.
I'm just telling you the difference between Brian's dorm days and mine. I didn't have any naked dudes outside my door.
I had bowling balls on the wall.
What's dumb?
We had flower fights.
Thank God I didn't live. I would have been furious if I lived on a floor with, like, you know, the floors that just are just idiots and they just break.
I was on that floor.
That was my floor. I was elected president of that floor. I had to stay.
That's so dumb because I don't think there's presidents.
They did have floor presidents.
No, they did. Yeah.
You just probably never showed up to the meeting.
Yeah, guaranteed. that's true.
I showed up to
that's
the
a definite fact.
I showed
sir.
Up to the damn meeting, and they elected me president of our bogus ass floor that I knew was just full of rubbish.
I was not being friends,
and I had to represent these assholes.
This is the Don Woe.
That's how it started. They called me the Godfather then. Because I was... Did you not know this?
No!
I was
really?
Yes, I was known. You were around for this.
Yes.
You knew that. This happened. We would be sitting in like, the cafeteria halls, and people would be like, oh, it's the Godfather. And it was embarrassing, but...
Because you used to walk around...
How come they stopped doing that when we showed up?
Because they all had... I moved. I wasn't there anymore. But I was in charge of the worst floor on campus. It was awful. Oh, it was terrible. But, like, if I ever went to a party, I got everything free. It was, and everybody referred to me as the Godfather wherever I went, which was really
pretty cool.
That was really nice. But but standing in front of all of the fucking, like, residence hall people accusing everybody that lived on my floor of crimes that they were all guilty of. It was not easy.
That's what I hated about dorm living.
But I
living,
totally
though,
got lots of booze and tang. It was great.
Like, you're responsible for if somebody puts a bowling ball through your wall, like, you have to pay for that.
Yeah,
but you
like
didn't
that.
Choose those neighbors.
Yeah, that sucked. It was terrible, but like they're like, I understand their logic. It was horrible logic. I caught one of them bleeding from the head because he fell. And he was just drunk, and he was bleeding from the head.
That sort of thing will happen.
He took the plant from the lobby and put it in the elevator, which then moved to the trash chute, which clogged it. It was awful. It was just god awful. He bled everywhere. Thousands of dollars of damage week after week.
Wasn't there a couch in the elevator?
Yeah, we did put a couch in the elevator. It was awful. Like everything that they were accused of, we were guilty of, like, beyond all belief.
Oh, those wacky
I think
neighbors.
There was one night freshman year, I put a chair in the elevator, but I also sat in that chair with a friend.
Wasn't that
just
fun?
We just escorted people to their floor with casual conversations. Like, oh, welcome to the elevator. What floor would you like to go to? 10? What a lengthy discussion we'll have. That's my floor.
But
I know you.
So you also had a ball pit in your room.
And our sophomore year,
you made a ball pit in your
our
dorm.
Our sophomore year, freshman year, I decided I wanted to have a ball pit in my sophomore year. I thought that'd be really funny and cool to have in college. So sophomore year, me and Jeff and Greg and Chris and Matt Rickert, and then randomly placed Jared Mason, who's a friend of mine from high school. All lived in like the same like three rooms that are next to each other: a three-person suite, a two-person suite, and a one-person thing. The two-person suite was just a room. I didn't mean to say suite. And so we took the suite, the three-person suite, which had all this extra room, and we realized we could build a ball pit in that shape, that specific shape. I like researched which room would be the most advantageous to have a ball pit, like which room setup. So all these different styles and shapes, and figured out how we would do it, and we built the ball pit. We bought like some 22, I think, 100, like, of those plastic balls. You can buy them. I was picking
How
them up and saving
cost?
Them.
How much does that cost? $2,200
$220.
Like
I was going to say, I thought they sold... Yeah.
The big ones, because we had two sizes in there. The big ones were $20 for 100.
They're packs of 10 or something?
Yeah. No, they're like packs of 100.
Oh.
And you buy them like... The small ones were $10, but the big ones were 20. But basically, the big ones were twice as much space in a ball pit as the small ones. And they were also more durable, so they could take a harder impact when you jumped in it.
So did your neighbors think you were...
Awesome. there were so many people that came in and were like, oh my god, there's a ball pit! And immediately, like, you just can't go into a place and... If there's a ball pit, not asked to get in it.
Was anyone ever really unimpressed? Like, you brought a girl back, and she was like,
Yeah, Autumn was. And that'll be the end of her mention in this. But no, the females that lived on our floor, they would come over, like, real drunk, real late at night, and ask if they could just hang out. And we're like, yeah, of course. You can do pretty much anything. Go nuts. And they would just hang out.
So you should bake cookies for people and have a ball pit in your apartment, and everybody will be your friend.
Did you keep track of everyone who went in your ball pit and like just tallied all of their things on a tab, all the times they went to the ball pit, so that they owed you?
No, we should have. We also had like a nice little basketball goal up, so you could like throw a ball in and entertain yourself as you sat in there.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun things in there, a lot of fun moments. It was a great investment. And to all you people who listen to this to go to college, consider it. It will be. It's a weird thing to have, but you'll have a lot of fun having it.
You know, but all those balls. You said they cost like $220.
Yeah,
I'm sure if you wanted to build a huge one, you'd probably have to take a loan out, and then you'd have debt.
And think That's about true. How many pop chips you could have bought with that money.
God. Well, if you buy all of those balls and all of those pop
delicious chips. Pop chips. Remember, they're not baked, not fried. Keep going.
And you spend far beyond your means.
On all the different flavors of pop chips, such as barbecue, regular, and some more. We'll skip past them. Keep going, Bebo.
So far... that you accumulate $10,000 or more of credit card debt.
Because of all those delicious, well, pretty good pop chips that you had, remember, they're healthier than normal chips.
You need someone to negotiate down that debt. And you need to call Legal Helpers Debt Resolution.
Which is also brought to you by Pop Chips. The best chips in all the land. Crush them in your hand and drop the crumbs in your mouth. Pop Chips.
Pop Chips are so gross.
866 Legal Helpers Debt Resolution.
Buy pop chips sometime soon.
Tell them Octavarius sent you.
When you buy those pop chips. For the people who have never heard any of the podcast, this will make no sense.
You start about 10 podcasts ago and piece this puzzle together. That's the dumbest way we've ever ended a podcast. I don't know.
We've done some pretty dumb shit.
Yeah.
Hey, I could always propose marriage to Joseph Gordon-Levitt out of nowhere.
I would.
That's true.
Call back from last week.
You could.
That was a pretty weird way.
Yeah. It wasn't out of nowhere for Lauren.
Right from the heart. Because she went through time. Like she always does.
Call back from 3 weeks prior.
Boop, boop.
Well, we're almost done with this podcast.
Can we
but
make it four?
Before we go, it's time for Nick Mikula's 7 words of wisdom.
Yes.
Truth stops now with your eyelids.
What?
It's wisdom, Keith. Let it hit you and get back to me as soon as you can.
That about does it. Check back every Monday for a fresh episode of the podcast. Have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye!
Bye. 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 Bye.